You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Really good, man. Been a nice evening so far. We had a couple podcasts under our belt, and excited to talk Cleveland. More so not about Cleveland, but only two left, man.
Yeah. Only two left. It's almost over. Thank God. these two-a-day podcasts really cramping my style.
Yeah, especially when you're the one doing the editing and the posting and stuff I'm not doing. So,
well, it's, you know, it's why I get paid the big bucks.
It is.
You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Let's just jump right into it and talk about the Cleveland Indians and their farm system. Matt, who's the guy at the top of your system?
It's probably a little bit different than most. I have Tristan McKenzie number one.
Boom. Love it.
When you look at McKenzie, the first thing that jumps out at you is his 6'5", 165. And that looks to be about right. He has the best nickname in the minor leagues. They call him Sticks.
Nice.
Because, you know, he turns sideways, you can't find him. Stuff's already in the low 90s. Like, you watch him, you know, watch clips of him and stuff. His uniform looks like CeCe Sabathia, you know, how, like, the bagginess he has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pants falling off, jersey falling off, but it's for the opposite reasons. Low 90s fastball, extremely athletic. The command is very good for, you know, going to be 21 year old. He's already pitched significant innings in high A, should be in double A to start next season. 143 innings pitched, 105 hits allowed, 186 strikeouts in high A this year, high A Lynchburg. So he'll be in double A to start the season next year. One thing I have a little bit of concern on is the innings totals. I see 143 is where he should be, but until that was a significant jump. So, you know, and his body type doesn't really give you the most confidence in a 180-200 inning starter, but not a lot of guys are that anymore. It's still a risky proposition. I think he's the starting pitcher too, for me. But I really, really like the stuff, and there's so much projection here. Low 90s at 165 pounds. I've been saying this for a couple of years now, so maybe it's not going to happen. But maybe he puts on, you know, 20, 25 pounds of good solid muscle, and that low 90s turns into, you know, sitting 95, 96. It's possible. He's athletic and long. He's got kind of like the Carl Edwards release point, you know, when he's releasing the ball a whole, you know, foot farther, closer to home plate than most pitchers are just because of his frame. So, I mean, that's going to play into it a lot too. So I like McKenzie a lot going forward. I think he's a number two starter pitcher for fantasy. And he's a guy I'm willing to invest in everywhere. He's going to be in my top 40. That's how high I am on McKenzie. We'll go to Francisco Mejia. He's my number two guy, switch hitting catcher. And I say catcher because for fantasy, he doesn't qualify as a catcher this year. Right now, anyways, he's a utility-only player. Switch hitter with a plus hit tool and probably average power down the line. It's not there yet for me. 297, 346, 490 with 14 homers and 7 steals in 92 games in Double-A. Probably more famous for that monster hit streak he had. There's a couple of things going against him here. Number one, the durability thing. 94 games has been his max in a season as a catcher. And then he had a hip injury last year that cut him short to 72 games in behind the plate. Came back and played in the Arizona Fall League, and I don't know if that was a lot to do. I mean, he came back from hip injury, and he ended up getting a promotion to the majors. Went to the Fall League, and he didn't catch in the Fall League. He played third base, and I don't know whether that was just give him reps offensively or actually if they're serious about making that a potential, you know, home for him on the defensive side of the ball. But his bat for me isn't good enough to be a third baseman. He doesn't hit for enough power. In my opinion, he's a, you know, a 15 to 18 home run bat at max, I think, just because I don't like the swing path. And I think he's a bit on the smallish side. But that, you know, 280, 290 average with, you know, 15 to 18 home runs as a catcher puts him firmly in the top 10 for his position. And he's an easy top 20 for dynasty leagues right now when you factor in all that stuff. So I like Mejia, but not nearly as much as everybody else. I guess he could be like a poor man's Victor Martinez in his prime.
Which would be really good if he's a catcher.
Right. And the question I have, the concern I have with this is he's a catcher that needs to work on his defensive skills. So I'm automatically a bit concerned when he starts messing around with other positions. You know what I'm saying? Because his bat is fine, but his bat's not going to, you know, be the end-all, break-all for a catcher because he's got a really good arm, and the defensive actions are good. It's just he's really rough around the edges and really bad blocking, really bad receiver. So that needs to get improved, obviously, but if he doesn't stick a catcher, I want nothing to do with Mejia, just because I don't think he hits enough.
Never draft catching prospects.
Right, no matter what you think of him, right? And I guess next guy, we'll make this a little quicker. We'll jump to Bobby Bradley.
My boy.
Your boy, 251, 331, 465 in Double A, 23 homers, 3 stolen bases. Had a really rough fall league, 56% contact rate in the Arizona Fall League. That's not good at all. So that's something to watch when you look at Bradley's profile. 74% contact rate in Double A, so that is encouraging. 10% walk rate in Double A this year, 22.9% strikeout rate, which normally would be a little bit alarming, but that is by far the best he's put up in a full season anywhere. So that is going in the right direction. Extra base hits, he had 51 of them, had 53 the prior year, so he's right back in line with all that. I think he's a middle of the order run producer. And to be Captain Obvious here, I think he's going to be a good source of power, but he's not going to hit for average. Kind of going to fall in the mold of like Lucas Duda, Brandon Moss, kind of guy like that. So for fantasy relevance, you probably don't want him to be your first baseman, but if you can get him in a corner a couple years down the road, I think he can hit 30 home runs. And if you're in OBP league, he's a good first baseman because I think he's going to post strong on-base percentages with the walk rates he's posted for his career. They've all been around 10, 11, 12%, so that's always good. But he's going to be a power OBP guy, and OBP doesn't play in some leagues. So depending on your format, this is ultimate value, but I think he's a good corner option long term. Sorry to pour a little bit of water on your boy, but...
So it's okay. That's what you're here for.
Right, to be the bearer of bad news. But no, I like Bradley a little bit there. Nolan Jones is another third base prospect I like. He was the second youngest hitter in the New York Penn League, but he still put up a 171 WRC plus. He was a 16% walk rate, which placed second in the league. 22% strikeout rate, 72% contact rate. 25 extra base hits, hit 317, 430, 482 with 4 home runs, 18 doubles, and 3 triples. He's a guy, you know, he uses off fields, and he makes good contact. He pulls the ball a lot, though. So he's going to be, you know, his batting average ability might be capped a little bit with the shifting. So I don't expect him to be a 300 hitter at the next level for sure. But I think he can hit 260. I think he can hit 25 home runs. And that's a good production from a third baseman. It kind of reminds me of Corey Koski. Remember that guy from the Twins? Left-handed swinger. I think that's where Jones is at. So I think he's a solid middle of the order guy. Going forward, there's lots to like about that profile. Will Benson, first round pick in 2016, 238, 347, 475 line in the New York Penn League, which puts him in low A. Common theme here, a lot of these prospects with the Indians so far, they all walk. 23 extra base hits for Benson, 8, 5, and 10 doubles, triples, homers. So even distribution, 7 triples, or excuse me, 7 stolen bases. Projects as a really good defensive outfielder. Good runner for his monster frame, 6'5", 225, can run a little bit. He's a really good defensive outfielder as well, so that's going to raise the floor. But I think ultimately the hit tool is going to be in the tank because he does strike out a lot. 32% last year, 33% this year. So that's obviously an issue for someone that doesn't have monster power. So Will Benson, while he's tooled up, he's got some holes that he needs to correct. Yu Cheng Chang is a shortstop prospect that can hit for power. Last year he hit 220, 312, 461 in double A, 24 doubles, 24 homers. And 5 triples. So you're looking at, and then they also chipped in 11 stolen bases. Contact rate around 70%, so that's below average. That needs to be a little uptick. Hits a lot of balls in the air, which is good. And so they like the batted ball profile. And I don't know if he's going to be a good enough glove to stick it short, which in this organization it doesn't matter because they have Lindor. So I think ultimately he moves to third base. But again, they have a couple options there. They have Jose Ramirez if they don't trade Kipnis. Yandy Diaz, Giovanni Ursula can play third base effectively. Obviously, you can sign someone third baseman or out there everywhere. But I do like Chang. He could be up at the end of this year even. I mean, if he gets a little bad bit luck, which I don't really anticipate because he hits the ball in the air so much. But he's a solid player. He's a very underrated prospect. He's only going to be 23 in August. He's a very good guy to own because you could probably get him for fairly cheap. Willy Castro, they added him to the 40-man roster this winter. 20-year-old shortstop. 290, 337, 424 line. 24 doubles, 11 home runs, 3 triples, 19 stolen bases. Another athlete in this system, 81% contact rate, 5.5% walk rate. So he's kind of the more aggressive of the prospects we have listed so far. Strikeout rate, pretty good, 17%. So that's a really good positive thing. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to have a lot more extra base hits when he develops and gets bigger. I just don't know about the hit tool. And he's, again, with Lindor at shortstop, he's not sticking as short, so that's going to be a problem for him. Greg Allen should be up a little bit this year, probably a fourth outfielder, speed-first kind of guy. It's going to be him and Tyler Naquin kind of fighting for that fourth outfielder role, and they're both different players. Greg Allen is, they're both quick, but Allen's more of a speed guy. Naquin's more of the power guy, so I guess it's kind of depending on what you want. 77% contact rate in the majors last year, 79% in double A, where he played primarily. He played most of the season in double A, and then got called up to the majors down the stretch. Really good strikeout rate, 18%. Good walk rate, 7%. Greg Allen is a guy that can steal 30 bases if he gets enough playing time. I don't think he ultimately does, because I think he's going to be a part-time bit kind of player because of that. But Greg Allen should be up this season as well, so that's going to add a little bit more value to him. I'm going to jump down a little bit. George Villara. He was the number 5 international prospect, according to Baseball America this year. I believe in the profile. I grabbed him in RDI. I love the swing. It's a little bit handsy. He has a significant hand wrap that he needs to eliminate, but he's only 17, so I'm not too concerned about that now. Could be a high batting average, guy. He takes a lot of walks, really selective hitter. Could be a future leadoff hitter that could hit 20 home runs. 6 foot, 170, perfect frame for projection. Could chip in, double-digit stolen bases. And hit 20 home runs, like I said. So George Villar is potentially a very nice sleeper in dynasty leagues. Quinton Holmes was a draft pick for them this year. Struggled a little bit in his pro debut, but there's not many faster players than him in the minor leagues. So second round pick this year. He's extremely raw, but he'd be a nice prudent guy to jump in and grab because the numbers were terrible. So you could kind of get him while he's in the ground floor a little bit. This system is in the bottom third in baseball. It's weird for Cleveland because they traditionally had, really good pipelines and able to pump guys through. But the graduation of guys like Zimmer and Clevenger kind of hurt the depth. But there's a couple other guys. Jonathan Rodriguez, Connor Capel. Oscar Gonzalez, all outfielders in the lower levels that are pretty good. Capel should be in Double-A this year. Eric Haas is a catcher who can probably hit 30 home runs if he gets enough playing time. I just think the batting average will be in the tank. But there's a lot to love in the system. I like McKenzie a lot. I'm, like I said, kind of lukewarm on Mejia compared to the industry. Nolan Jones is a nice name. Bobby Bradley. I like Chang. There's some talent here. It's, like I said, it's probably bottom third, but their major league roster's got a young enough talent to supplement it.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. That is going to do it for tonight. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. Fall.